Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text comes from Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to hear your word freely and this wonderful promise of being made children and heirs through the waters of holy baptism. We pray that you would teach us a deeper meaning for us today, and may it apply to us. Let it be exactly what we need to hear. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be focusing on the reading from Galatians, if you want to get that out. Also, the user Bible, whatever you prefer. And basically, the main point of Paul's argument here is that we become children and heirs of God through faith in Jesus Christ by his grace. And not because of any works of the law. Alright? So that's kind of his main point in this passage. And in order to kind of understand what he's talking about here, we have to understand what he means by this talk of the law being our guardian in verse 24. That the law was our guardian until Christ came. And so first I want to start out by thinking about fathers, as it is Father's Day. Think about in every loving father's household, there's probably some house rules, right? Any rules in your household that this is what we do if we're going to live in this house. You know, maybe you have a curfew, maybe there's chores that you do, maybe there's ways that you communicate with each other, maybe you take responsibilities. Maybe there's things that you just don't do or don't say. And the reason why the fathers would give that is to protect the children, right? Keep them from doing something they're not supposed to be doing, and to curb that behavior so that it doesn't get out of control, right? And while it works sometimes, we know that, probably as parents, the tendency of children is to rebel. And as good as those rules or those commands might be, and loving as the ways they're given, still the tendency is to kind of want to rebel and to want to do our own thing. And we end up probably having to resort to giving rewards and giving consequences or punishments for breaking those things in order to produce the behavior that we want. This is kind of what happens with God's law that he gives to his people. He gives it to protect us. He gives it to curb sin. He gives it to keep sin from getting out of control. Right? You've seen, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, and that it was our guardian. So it's there to protect us from getting out of control. And it's given out of his love for us, right? But this is that our sinful nature wants to do. It wants to rebel, and it wants to say, I don't want to. Even though you're giving this to me, and you say you love me, and it's good for me, I still want to be free to do my own thing. And I want to go my own way. And so that's why Paul also explains in other areas that this law can even increase sin, because the moment we're told not to do or to do something, And we automatically want to do the opposite because of our sinful nature, right? We're trying to stop worrying or to stop coveting. It doesn't really work that well. We kind of end up actually probably doing it because we just find out how powerless you really are. So the same thing happens with God's law that he gives to us as we end up rebelling against it with our sinful nature. And just like the people of Judah in our Old Testament reading, God would stretch out his hands, he'd reveal himself to them, say, "Here I am. You know, I'm seeking you out. I'm ready for you to know me." And it says they were rebellious people who walked in a way that is not good, following their own devices. People who would worship other gods, even, and it would be like provoking God to his face. It's how disobedient they got. Right? So you have to understand, this is a tendency of our sinful nature. This is what we've done when we sin against God, is we literally say, "I don't care, I'm going to do my own thing, because I don't want to be free, and I don't want to be a slave to the law." What happens is, if all we have is the law, and for the Jews this would have been the law of Moses, you know, from the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai through Deuteronomy, all the Old Covenant laws, there's hundreds of those little laws about what you're supposed to eat and how you keep yourself pure and clean, governing, and all of the other sorts of things. They were saying, the Jewish Christians were saying that the Gentiles, the other people, who were coming to faith, needed to keep all of these things in order to know that they are children of God and would be heirs of the kingdom of God. Alright? So Paul's point is that's not the way you become a child or an heir, but it's through faith in Jesus Christ and holy baptism. I mean, if you think about the question, how does someone become a child? Well, you'd probably say they're born, right, into it. And that's what another thing the Jews were saying, is that it's through Abraham that they knew that they were children of God. Because God promised in the Old Testament that through Abraham he would bless all nations. Right? So Jesus even comes against us when he talks to some of the Pharisees, that they say, "Don't try to talk to us, tell us we're wrong, because we're children of Abraham, so we know we must be God's children, God's heirs." But what Paul says again in verse 29, "But if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise." So it's not really by lineage, it's not by physical bloodline, but it's through faith that we actually become children of God. We become heirs of God. And that changes our relationship to the law. So before Christ, we are under the law as a guardian. It's there to only protect us and curb us from sin. And this idea of a guardian comes from what they would do in the Roman culture, is that they would have these guardians assigned to all the children in order to keep them from getting out of control, or to watch over their learning, in order to watch over their behavior. They would like see their safe conduct from their homes, from their schools. And these basically wealthy these wealthy Roman citizens or people would hire a servant to do all these things, this guardian, to watch over their children. So the guardian, in a way, restricted the freedom of the child and prevented them from doing things sometimes that they wanted to do. But then there would be a time that would be the coming of age. Would be the time when they would be considered an adult and would have the freedom and the responsibility of an adulthood. This would happen usually between the ages of 15 and 18. And this is actually when the child was officially adopted as a child. And also the time when they received the full inheritance rights that belonged to them as a family member. So now we kind of can start to understand why Paul would say, we're going to verse 3 now, all right, chapter 4, Galatians. In the same way also, when we were enslaved, but when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son. When the fullness of the coming of age of His people came, God sends forth His Son so that we would be adopted children, so that we would become heirs and possessors of all that He has. He says He gives us His Spirit in us in verse 6 so that we know that He is our Father, and that we're no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. In our gospel reading, we kind of see the horrors of what it's like to not be a son or an heir of God. And this example of a man who's demon-possessed by many demons. If you take a look at some of the things that he was doing when he was possessed, he was living outside the community. He was isolated. He didn't really have a home. He was living around the tombs. He was around death. He was being controlled by a force that he couldn't stop, right? That was really working for his destruction and trying to harm him. But then the reversal, when Christ comes into his life, is fascinating. He says, in our gospel reading in verse 35, it says, "And they found the man, after the demons were cast out, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And he returns home and goes throughout the whole city proclaiming what God has done for them." That's a beautiful picture of what we have in holy baptism through faith in Jesus Christ, when we become His children. He teaches us to sit at His feet. He clothes us with His righteousness, with that perfect obedience of keeping all those laws that we could never keep. And He gives that to us by His grace through faith. And He puts us in the right mind, begins to renew us, and teach us what is true and right and good. He teaches us to look at the law not as our slave, not as someone there to take all of our fun away, not as something there to simply protect us, but something that we learn to love and delight in because it no longer can condemn us, no longer put us under the wrath of God. So in a way that the man was transformed as is a good picture of us and how God transforms us through holy baptism and faith. And in Romans 13, you get the same imagery of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, literally clothing yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. It's literally this imagery of putting on a new set of clothes, like every morning when I get up, first thing I think about, I am clothed in Christ. That sin has been washed away, been forgiven. I'm no longer doing good things in order to earn God's favor, or to earn my salvation, or to justify myself, make my relationship right with Him. It's been done and given to me. Not only that, now I'm free to follow him, free to live as his child, clothed in his dress, in the right mind, sitting at his feet, free to go out and proclaim all that God has done for me. And it's even when Luther was asked, how is it that you fight temptation? He said the most important thing was that he remembered that he was baptized. He remembered that he was baptized and clothed with Christ, and that he was a new creation, and that sin no longer defined him, no longer had power over him. It wasn't who he really is. So for the question, how do we become a child or an heir, or whose child or whose heir we really are, ultimately, you know, it's not by what we do, but it's by what Christ has done through holy baptism, giving us faith to become his children and heirs. But everything that he possesses, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard God's word, will rise and confess.